Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Gimel, Chapter 43. In the previous perek, the remnant of the Jewish community on their way down to Egypt makes a pact with Yirmiyahu. Pray to Hashem on our behalf, and we will do whatever Hashem says. Yirmiyahu, for his part, promises them a glorious return to the land of Israel if they choose to go there, and a desperate end if they choose to continue to the land of Egypt. Yirmiyahu finishes his speech and looks expectantly at the community standing before him, expecting them to fulfill what they said they would, expecting Yochanan to pick up his bags and start leading the people back to Jerusalem or to Mitzpah to live out their lives in peace. He certainly could not have expected what happened next. I'm reading from verse 2. Vayomer Azariah ben Hoshaya v'Yochanan ben Kereach v'kol ha'anashim hazedim. Omrim el Yirmiyahu, sheker ata medaber. Lo shlachacha Hashem Elokeinu lemor lo tavo Mitzrayim lagvor sham. Azariah, the son of Hoshaya, and Yochanan ben Kereach, and all the people, the terrible people with them, they say to Yirmiyahu, you're a liar. You're lying to us. Hashem never sent you to say that you shouldn't go to live in Mitzrayim. And why do we think this happened? Verse 3, ki baruch ben Neria, mesirotcha banu. You were tricked by Baruch ben Neria, l'man teid otanu b'yana kazdim, l'amid otanu, u'l'galud otanu bavel. You just want to give us over into the hands of the Chaldeans. You want the Babylonians to capture us. You want us ultimately to die or to be exiled to Babylonia. Just like that, their commitment that had echoed Matan Torah is gone. Did they never have any intention of listening to Yirmiyahu? Or did something change? The Malbim, if you remember from last parak, had said that they weren't really asking for Yirmiyahu's advice. They were just asking which way was the safest path on which to travel. So it's possible, according to the Malbim's approach, that they were surprised to hear Yirmiyahu say that they should go back to Israel. That's not what they were committing to. Or maybe they actually did want to know, but then over the 10 days that Yirmiyahu was praying to Hashem for prophecy, they changed. They didn't have it in them anymore to go back and start again. Their fear got the better of them. They sunk to the weakest parts of themselves. Or maybe they wanted to make this pact with Yirmiyahu, but only as long as he told them exactly what they wanted to hear. This is a throwback to the earlier false prophets and how they dealt with the people, always telling them what they wanted to hear, and Yirmiyahu always telling them what they didn't want to hear. And now, instead of acknowledging their own fears, their shortcomings, they turn against Yirmiyahu, accusing him and belittling him. And notice, by the way, that it's not Yochanan ben Kereach who answers first, but someone else who we've never seen mentioned and will never see again. For all of his conviction and strength in war, Yochanan does not have the moral conviction to follow through on his promise to carry the people somewhere that he knows will be hard for them. And ultimately, Yochanan exposes himself as a weak leader, almost like Tzidkiyahu, letting somebody else take the forefront. In order to belittle Yirmiyahu, the people fall back into two familiar tropes that they've always used in the past. Sheker ata medaber. You're a false prophet, Yirmiyahu. And the second is, you really want to give us into the hands of the Chaldeans. You're a Babylonian operative. You were never on our side. Really, you just want to get us killed or get us sent into exile to kiss up to Babylonia. You're a Babylonian spy. It's so tiring, after all this time, to hear them reach back into these characterizations that they should have left behind. It's like when people pull out old anti-Semitic tropes, and because they seems like they can't be creative enough to find anything else. And now here Yirmiyahu, after even being proven right in the most devastating way, the people will not see his truth. In a way, you could look at this almost as a comfort to him. There really was nothing he could have done or showed them that would have prevented the Chorban. At the end of the day, the people do what they want to do, no matter how convincing the other person is. It's not the proof of the prophet that will cause people to change. It has to come from within, and these people just don't want it. And in order to make themselves feel better, they belittle your mio. It's you, your mio. You're the problem, not us. In another surprising turn of events, the people blame Baruch Benaria, your mio's faithful scribe, for tricking him into giving them a prophecy that they believe will lead to their downfall. Why the people suddenly turn on Baruch is not clear. Perhaps they are embarrassed of going back on their word that they gave just 10 days earlier and are grasping for an excuse why they're suddenly rejecting Yirmiyahu's prophecy that just before they had promised to keep. They said, whether it's good or bad in our eyes, we will do it. Blaming Baruch makes it slightly easier for them to deal with their own cognitive dissonance. At this point, the community gets up and begins the journey to Egypt. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Veikach Yochanan ben Kereach v'chol sareach chayalim et kol sherit Yehuda asher shavu mikol agoyim asher nidchu sham lagur be'eretz Yehuda. Such a sad pasuk. Yochanan ben Kereach and his officers take this remnant of Yehuda, the ones that came back from all the places that they were scattered to. These are the people that returned after running away to Ammon and Moab. These are people who came from the north. These are people that had given themselves over to hide amongst the Chaldeans. These are people that had been through a lot. And now he takes them and brings them to Egypt when they had come out back to live in Yehuda. Professor Yair Hoffman notes that the words Vayikach Yochanan are purposeful. He reads this as the community was not with Yochanan on this decision, but he persisted and forced them to go. They really didn't have another choice. Going back to Israel without a leader would seem impossible. Among the captives forced to go to Egypt are Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah. The community is now about to do the unimaginable. The Jewish community is going back to Egypt. The people arrive in the city of Tachpanes, which is at the border between Egypt and Israel, but in Egypt proper, and it is there that Yirmiyahu gets a prophecy to perform his final maaseh simli, his final symbolic action. Verse 8, Vahi dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu b'Tachpanes, lemor, Hashem speaks to Yirmiyahu, Kach biyadcha avanim gidolot, utmantem, Bamelet, Bemalbain, Asher Bepetach, Paro, Betachpanes, Leine Anashim Yudim. Hashem tells him to take some large stones and embed them in the mortar of the brick structure at the entrance to Paro's palace in Tachpanes, and he should have Judeans looking, make sure that they see what he's doing. Yirmiyahu is instructed to make these stones into a platform and then stick them into the mortar of the palace. What's the meaning of this action? In verse 10, Va'amarta aleihem, say to them, Ko amar Hashem tzvokot Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem, Hineni sholeach v'lakachti et Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel avdi. I'm going to take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, my servant, v'samti kiso mima'al la'avanim ha'ela, asher tamamti. I'm going to place his throne on this platform that I embedded here. Venata and Shafri Ro Alehem, and he is going to unfold his cloak upon you. In a prophecy that echoes his earlier one in chapter 25, Yirmiyahu once again calls Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, my one loyal servant, who does my bidding. He uses the language of Vilakachti, I will take him. This is purposeful intervention, and it's also one of the four languages of redemption that were once used towards the Jews who left Egypt. Now it's Nebuchadnezzar who's being taken by Hashem and allowed to, brought to, conquer the people in Upper Egypt. The Jews have made a grave mistake. They thought they were fleeing war and going to a land of comfort. Instead, they dove right into it. The land of Tachpanes, far from being peaceful, will become the site of great battles between Egypt and Babylonia. He promises them that Nebuchadnezzar will attack Egypt, burn their palaces and temples, kill many people, and take the rest as captives. Had you only gone back to Judah, that land is done. It's taken care of. Babylonia captured it, and they don't need to fight for it anymore. But Tachpanes in the north of Egypt, oh, that is going to be a very terrible place to be coming right away. And actually, That's what happens, because if you're reading Josephus from the Book of Antiquities, Josephus, in his retelling of the story of Jeremiah, he says in section 181, and so it happened. For in the 5th year after the sacking of Jerusalem, which was the 23rd year in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar marched against Coel, Syria, and after occupying it, made war both on the Moabites and the Ammonites. And then, after making these nations subject to him, he invaded Egypt in order to subdue it. And having killed the king who was then reigning and appointed another, he again took captive the Jews who were in the country and carried them to Babylon. Yirmiyahu's words, not surprisingly, were true. They went from the people jumped from the ashes into the fire. They tried to avoid war and they jumped right into it, and it ended up causing their downfall. We see here Yirmiyahu with this Maaseh Simli is again, he's still prophesying to a nation that's slowly slipping away. Each step that they took towards Egypt was a step backwards into the land of their enslavement. Not actual enslavement in this case, because they were free there, but enslavement to their fears, enslavement to their worst selves, to their lowest selves. And Yirmiyahu stands there in Tachpanes, doing his Maaseh Simli, warning the people, giving them rebuke, and still not giving up hope for his people. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.